Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
A very good morning to you all and welcome to DW's Africa Link program this Thursday, the 27th of October 2016. I'm Isaac Mugabe, your host in Bonn, Germany. Coming up, Gambia becomes the latest African country to announce its withdrawal from the International Criminal Court. We talk to the ICC spokesman who's pinning his hopes on a court state parties meeting in November.
We all hope that indeed there will be a serious and fruitful discussion that would dissipate any kind of misunderstanding or misconceptions about the work of the court.
South Africa's anti-graft watchdog says Gupta report is final after President Zuma asked for clarification in court. We will be hearing from our correspondent in Johannesburg.
Now the report is final, it has been confirmed. It means Zuma won't be able to make any representations, and this report is going to come out as it is. It is a damning report.
These stories plus a segment of our ongoing drama series on crime fighters, a learning by ear production. Stay tuned.
Top story.
The Gambia has become the latest African nation to announce its withdrawal from the International Criminal Court, accusing the War Crimes Tribunal of persecuting Africans. The move by Gambia follows similar decisions this month by South Africa and Burundi to abandon the troubled institution set up to try the world's worst crimes. Banjul's announcement will be a personal blow to the Hague-based tribunal's chief prosecutor, Fatou Bensouda, a Gambian lawyer and former justice minister. Our correspondents have been collecting views on people's perceptions about the court, and this is a summary of their findings, beginning with Sam Olukoya in Nigeria.
Some people in Nigeria are in support of the decision of Gambia and other African countries to pull out of the International Criminal Court. They said the court has tried mainly Africans, whereas people from Western countries are never prosecuted. They wonder why Western leaders like George Bush and Tony Blair have not been indicted over their role in the Iraqi war. Other Nigerians, however, see things differently. They feel Africans are the ones mainly being tried because the continent does not have an effective judicial system. Many say it will have been quite difficult to try former Liberian leader Charles Taylor in his own country.
This is Patrick Chitera in Kinshasa, capital of the Democratic Republic of Congo. When police fired tear gas on opposition supporters during anti-government demonstration in this country, you can often hear young protesters shouting ICC. For them, it is a cry of defiance as they campaign against effort by President Joseph Kabila to stay in power. By shouting ICC, they mean that if they are injured or killed by the police, the International Criminal Court will hold President Joseph Kabila to account. The ICC has been investigating alleged crimes in the DR Congo since 2004, leading to the conviction of two former Congolese warlords who are both serving jail terms. They include Jean-Pierre Bemba, whom his supporters say should be released because his detention by the ICC was politically motivated. But DR Congo rights activists like Georges Kapiamba are highly critical of efforts to weaken the court. He tweeted on Wednesday, "African dictators want to distract their citizens by announcing the withdrawal of their countries from the ICC. It is a responsible attitude," he added.
This is Andrew Wasike from the Kenyan capital, Nairobi. With African countries pulling out of the International Criminal Court, the ICC, Kenyans are divided over the issue. Some are waiting for the government to announce that the ripple effect has reached Kenya and that this country too is ready to leave. Other Kenyans are against a Kenyan withdrawal. Kenyans who I spoke to claim the move will give corrupt African leaders room to evade justice. An attempt by the court to try President Uhuru Kenyatta and his deputy William Ruto over post-election violence failed.
This is Privilege Mushaniri in Harare. Human rights defenders in Zimbabwe are seeing hopes of their country ever ratifying membership of the International Criminal Court fade now that Burundi, South Africa and the Gambia have signaled their withdrawal from the ICC. Zimbabwe has been a signatory to the ICC since 1998 but has never ratified the Rome Statute. The opinion here is that Zimbabwean authorities are like observers who now mock their counterparts for having ratified the Rome Statutes to become party to the ICC. Sentiments are that justice done somewhere is better than no justice at all, and that African human rights violations cannot be justified on the basis that there is no influential Western leader that has been prosecuted by the ICC.
DW correspondents telling us what people think about the court in their respective countries. Before we came on air, I spoke to the ICC spokesman, Fadi El Abdallah, and I started by asking him how worried the court was by the departure of the three countries.
The president of the Assembly of State Parties to the ICC Rome Statute has explained that he is concerned about that and called on the states to discuss their concerns and preoccupations within the right forum of that, which is the Assembly of the State Parties. The ICC, as you perfectly understand, is a judicial institution. It is a court that applies the law. But the law in this case is the Rome Statute and other legal texts governing the work of the ICC. And these are adopted by the state parties and not by the court itself. The court only apply what the states have given to it as a mandate and as governing rules.
What does the court intend to do to restore African confidence in its jurisdiction?
I think the main thing for the court is to continue providing justice and to continue with fair proceedings, respecting the rights of the victims and the rights of the defense. This is the main thing that the court can and has to do. Of course, we are very open in order to discuss any further concerns that are related to explaining better some of the decisions of the court and why it has been taken or adopted and so on. But the ICC is a judicial body. It does not and cannot create the rules that are governing its work. So basically, any kind of modifications to this rule cannot be done by the court. It can be done only by and within the Assembly of the States Parties, which is the right forum to discuss these matters.
Well, recently, the president of the Assemblies of State Parties held a press conference in Senegal, and he kind of urged both countries, Burundi and South Africa, to reconsider their decisions. Are you optimistic that the countries will, you know, heed his advice?
It's a question to be addressed to these countries. I think that an important moment will be whether and to which extent they are going to participate to the Assembly of State Parties session that is scheduled basically mid-November. And I think that we all hope that indeed there will be a serious and fruitful discussion that would dissipate any kind of misunderstanding or misconceptions about the work of the court and would allow the international community with all these countries still to continue supporting the global fight against impunity through the ICC.
ICC spokesman Fadi El Abdallah.
Africa Link, every weekday on DW Deutsche Welle.
South Africa's public protector, a constitutionally mandated anti-graft watchdog, has confirmed that a report released after an investigation into possible undue political influence by wealthy friends of President Jacob Zuma was the final document. Our correspondent in Johannesburg, Tuzo Kumalo, has been telling me what this declaration of the report's finality means for Zuma.
Now the report is final, it has been confirmed. It means Zuma won't be able to make any representations, and this report is going to come out as it is. It is a damning report because already leaked revelations show that one of the deputy ministers current has revealed that he was offered up to 600 million rands by the Guptas if he was able to take the position of the former finance minister Nhlanhlanene. So this is a damning report, and it means I don't know what the courts will do, because it is now up to the courts to decide. But even if they say it should not be released, what will happen to the report? So the courts might say, let it be released. Zuma can be able to challenge to take it on review according to the legislation. But already, once it is released, it will be very damning to Zuma. And now Zuma is just against the whole, because what he didn't want is this report to be released. And if it is final, it's likely the court may decide that it be released.
Could this be then victory for the opposition parties like the Democratic Alliance and the Economic Freedom Fighters, EFF, that have been pushing for the resignation of President Jacob Zuma?
Definitely, this will bring jubilation from not only opposition parties, but a lot of South Africans who are tired of corruption, who are looking at President Zuma scandals and saying this man should have not been the president in the first place. So the opposition, obviously, they will jubilate. Remember, the AFF is one of the parties that are pressing for this report to be released. They want the nation to know, according to them, how corrupt the president is, because this is the allegation that they are putting. So once the report is released, they will push more for him to resign and to step down. They will show to the nation that Zuma is not worth to be the president. And remember, we're heading for elections. So the ANC will also be put at a corner where they cannot afford also to keep Zuma in that position, looking at the elections in 2019. So this will be a very interesting time in terms of the politics of South Africa. And it is yet to be seen whether President Zuma can yet again survive this one.
Tuzo Kumalo in Johannesburg. Malawi is due to launch the first ever national identity cards project today in the administrative capital Lilongwe. Malawians have been using driving licenses, passports and voter registration certificates as proof of their citizenship, meaning that those without any of these documents could not access services or loans easily. Malawi is the only country in Southern Africa without national identity cards. From Lilongwe, George Muhango sent this report.
The launch of the first phase of national identity cards follows government's idea to establish the National Registration Bureau. However, 9 years down the line, the Bureau has yet to issue IDs. Due to pressure, Malawian authorities have this month been advertising the launch of the National IDs project. It was cancelled last week due to logistical challenges. Authorities say the absence of national IDs put a strain on medical resources. They say foreigners take advantage of free public medical services, especially in border districts. Gerard Nkandawire, a medical practitioner, says without IDs, it is difficult to certify that the patients they are helping are Malawians.
Oftentimes we get patients from as far as Mozambique, Tanzania and Zambia. We assist them because of lack of IDs, but when we ask them about their originality, they claim to be from within the border. This is why I say if the IDs are introduced, it will be easier to trace true citizens of Malawi and those from Mozambique, Tanzania and Zambia.
Those with passports and driver's licenses depend on these as an ID so as to access loans or other bank services.
For how long are you going to use passport and driving license? We should learn from other countries and move forward.
I have faced tough times getting loans because of lack of evidence that I'm indeed a Malawian. This sounds good news, and it is my hope that there will not be any form of corruption attached.
Civil society activists think the national IDs have shortfalls since the government has imposed an expiration date, meaning its renewal will attract a fee. Joseph Perry is a longer-based social commentator.
Government has to ensure that the national ID is a once-off payment thing and without any expiration date. At the same time, authorities should not use it as a tool to raise revenue like it does with passports and driver's licenses.
Authorities say it will be difficult for one to have access to health services, bank services, among others, without such a national identity card.
George Muhango reporting from Lilongwe. It's now time to listen to another segment of Crime Fighters, a Learning by Ear production.
Deutsche Welle, Learning by Ear. Listen up, shape your future.
Hi there. Welcome to another episode of Crime Fighters, Click on the Link. In the last episode, Nina, one of Zawadi's classmates, was suspected of having information about the stabbing, but nobody has seen her for days. The police are now trying to establish her whereabouts. Today's episode is entitled Searching for the Truth, and we join Candy, Zawadi's best friend, and Kilele, another classmate. They've both been summoned to the police station, but don't yet know why. Let's find out.
Candy, Kilele, the reason we asked you two to come in is because you've both been forthcoming with information so far. Have any of you seen your classmate Nina lately?
Nina hasn't been to school the last few days.
But she doesn't usually attend all the classes.
That's true. Why? Is she in trouble?
No, we just think she may have some information for us. Have any of you talked to her on the phone or by text?
Yes, Nina and I messaged each other on Twitter. She wanted to come with me to visit Zawadi at the hospital when she gets back.
Gets back? From where?
She said she was staying over at her friend's because they had parties to go to.
Parties to go to? Where does this friend of hers live?
At the hostel near the school.
Kendi and Kilele, thank you for cooperating with us again.
Thank you, Officer Beso.
Kendi, I need to speak with you privately. Kilele, if you like, you can head back to school now.
Okay.
Kendi, I'd like you to take us to where Nina is staying.
Of course, Officer Beso. I have a request, though.
What is it?
I'd like to visit Matu, Zawadi's boyfriend. Last time I was here, I was told I had to get clearance from the officers in charge of the case. Can I visit him?
All right. You can see him for 5 minutes, but not today. Maybe tomorrow or the day after. I'll let you know. And you'll have a guard in there with you to be on the safe side. For now, I'm going to call my partner and we'll all go to look for Nina at her friend's place.
And my location is the Mawatu Central Police Station.
Rat.
Sorry, sir. I didn't see you.
These smartphones are taking our eyes off the things that matter. Are you all right? Or should I ask, is your phone okay?
We are both all right. Thanks. I'm Kilele.
Hello. I am Tembo. Are you looking for someone here at the police station?
No, I was just leaving. I came with my friend Kendi, but she's still in there.
Oh, okay. I see you are engrossed in your phone.
Ah, yes. I'm on this social media site called Twari. I was just checking in my location.
Come with me. I'd like to show you something about that phone.
Sure. My classes don't start till midday. Plus, I can take a selfie while I'm here.
To post on Twari?
Now you're getting it.
People put up so much information online. Do you understand that anyone can see your information?
Not anyone. Just my friends on Twari.
If I searched your name right now, are you sure I won't find you on the search engine?
Of course you won't find me. Twari is very private.
Look.
Hey, that's me. Are you friends on Twari?
No. But this is what I was just telling you about. Once you've created an online profile on one of these pages, anyone, even criminals, can find you and access all the personal information you post, even without being your friend. Stuff like where you live, where you work, or your school. For instance, your boss can find your Twari profile and form an impression of who you claim to be online, how you behave in your free time, whether you are someone they'd consider reliable.
But I don't post nasty things. I'm very careful about that. I just post photos of me and my friends having fun, like when we go out. Nothing too personal. Plus, I haven't started applying for jobs yet. I still have a while to go before I finish school.
The internet never forgets. This stuff will all still be searchable in years to come. I have friends who've lost job opportunities just because they had compromising photos or very radical and controversial posts up on social media pages. When they posted them, they didn't think it was that serious. You need to be very careful.
So, Nina, you and I are going to have a little chat.
Officer Beso, why did you bring me here? What did I do?
Nina, why did you try to run when we found you at your friend's place?
I was running because my friend ran, and I wasn't sure why. I promise I haven't done anything.
And why did your friend run? What kind of people are you hanging out with?
Sometimes he smokes pot. That's probably why he ran and...
Right. Well, that's not why you're here. I'd like to find out about a text message you wrote to Zawadi Ketu. It says, "Stop bothering me. I won't do it." What did you mean? Nina, you do realize, don't you, that this looks like a possible motive for stabbing Zawadi?
What? No, I didn't stab Zawadi. I wouldn't hurt her.
So what do these words mean?
Okay, I'll tell you everything. A couple of months ago, I created a fake online profile on Twari. I found pictures of this cute boy online, so I used those and called myself Zaki. I know Zawadi loves posting information about herself. So I sent her a friend request and she accepted, without even asking who I was.
What does this have to do with the text message I asked you about?
I'm getting there. So I pretended to be Zake, and I got close to her by flattering her and showering her with attention. I liked everything she posted, and occasionally I'd comment on her photos and the places she visited.
And then what happened?
Well, she ignored me at first, but I persisted. And before long, we started chatting privately. I asked her questions the way a stranger would, like where she was right now and what she was doing. And she got comfortable enough to start telling me personal stuff.
Nina, why would you do that?
I had a crush on her boyfriend, Matu, and I wanted him to break up with her. So I started asking her about her relationship. I'd comfort her every time they argued. Before long, she was coming to me to ask for advice. I told her I would treat her better than Matu did. She was pretty much ready to be my, well, Zake's girlfriend. I kept sweet-talking her, but she was always quite careful what she wrote. I wanted to take screenshots of our conversation.
What would you have done with those?
Well, at first I was planning to send them to Matu, but then I changed my mind. I decided to let Zawadi know that I had screenshots of her conversation with a stranger online. I threatened to send them to Matu. She begged me not to. So I said I wouldn't if she broke up with Matu.
And why did you, or rather Zake, talk about meeting with Zawadi?
I got carried away with how easy it was to get someone to trust you online. But I swear it was all just a game, Officer Beso. I didn't hurt anyone. I promise.
It's not a game, Nina. Using a false identity to deliberately deceive someone is a very serious thing. You shouldn't be using the internet to harm your classmate.
I'm really sorry, Officer Beso. But there's something else you need to know.
What is it?
A couple of months ago, she came to me to ask if I could lend her some money. She seemed stressed and said she was in a fix, but I didn't have any cash. I asked why she hadn't asked her boyfriend or best friend, and she told me she didn't want too many people knowing about it. And then she kept bothering me about it, and that's when I sent her that message.
Do you know what she wanted the money for?
No. She just told me that she'd made a huge mistake that had cost her school fees.
Okay, Nina. We'll let you go with a warning. But we're going to be watching you closely. Is there anything else you might have forgotten to tell me?
And so we end this episode of Crime Fighters Click on the Link with Nina's confession. But if she wasn't behind the stabbing, who else could have done it? Nina has also revealed that Zawadi might have had money trouble. What did Zawadi need money for? As always, you can listen to this episode again by visiting our webpage, dw.com/crimefighters. And do connect with us by liking our Facebook page. Let us know what you think of this series. Until next time, be well.
Crime Fighters.
Remember, beginning next week, you'll be able to listen to Learning by Ear every Wednesday and Sundays at 16:50 UTC.
Join the new Africa Link show from October 31st for coverage of African and international news and much more, live at 16 UTC, Monday to Friday.
And now, a reminder of some of the stories that we've covered for you in the last 25 minutes. Gambia has become the latest African country to announce its withdrawal from the International Criminal Court. South Africa's anti-graft watchdog says Gupta report is final after President Zuma asked for clarification in court. Malawi is due to launch the first ever national identity cards project today in the administrative capital Lilongwe. In case you'd like to comment on the stories that we've covered for you, all you need to do is to send an email to feedback.africa@dw.com, a letter to Africa Link, DW 53110 Bonn, Germany, or an SMS to country code 49160957 59510. And this is Isaac Mugabe in Bonn.